Introduction to the Gospel according to Matthew. I have to tell you that I'm very excited to be going through the book of Matthew. Who was Matthew? Matthew was a tax collector who left his work to follow Jesus, and we see that take place in chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. In the books of Mark and Luke, he's called by his other name, which was Levi. Matthew means gift of the Lord, and is accredited with writing this gospel. Many theologians feel that Matthew would have been written in the late 50s or in the 60s AD. The main purpose or theme to the gospel according to Matthew is to prove to his Jewish readers that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. He does this primarily by showing how Jesus in his life and ministry fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. Matthew uses a number of Old Testament references in order to drive home his point, saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament predictions of the Messiah. As we look at the outline of Matthew, one has to get excited about the substance contained in this book. The book of Matthew, in addition to Mark, Luke, and John, are all written about the person Jesus. We see the birth and the early years of Jesus, his genealogy. We see the beginnings of Jesus' ministry, his forerunner speaking of John the Baptist, his baptism by John the Baptist, also his temptation by Satan. We see Jesus' ministry in Galilee, of course the Sermon on the Mount. We also see a huge mirage of miracles. We see the commissioning of the 12 apostles. We hear a number of parables that Jesus speaks. We also see Jesus withdrawing from Galilee. We see the prediction of his death. We see Jesus' ministry in Judea and Perea. We hear Jesus' teaching concerning divorce and little children. We see Jesus miraculously heal two blind men. We see the Passion Week of Jesus Christ, when he rides into Jerusalem, Jerusalem, on a donkey in a triumphal entry. We see his righteous anger as he cleanses the temple. Jesus gives the Olivet Discourse, teaching from the Mount of Olives, concerning the end of the age. We see an act of love, devotion, and worship, as Jesus' feet are anointed for his burial. And then the most disturbing but glorious part of the book is Jesus' arrest, his trial, and then his crucifixion. As you read the accounts of the brutality of his death, you cannot help but fall deeper in love with our Lord, knowing what he endured for us, knowing that it was us that should have been hung on the cross, knowing that he died for our sins so that we might have life and life abundantly. Finally, the section that separates Jesus from every person, that is, the resurrection. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us a future and a hope. If Jesus would have remained in the grave, then he would have been no different than anybody else that has ever lived. The beauty is that he didn't remain. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Lord, we ask, as we get into this book, as we get into your word, we pray for deeper revelations of who you are. We desire to know you in much greater ways. Lord, you teach in Matthew chapter 7 that whoever hears your sayings and does them builds their house upon the rock. And you say that the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And Lord, you are that rock. We want a strong foundation in you. Lord, we just ask that you would open up our ears to be able to hear you. Open up our hearts to be able to decipher what you're telling us. Then may we apply your instructions into our lives. May we not merely be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Lord, you are so good and you are so worthy of our praise. Not even eternity is long enough to thank you properly. We expect great and mighty things. We expect deep revelations as we explore the scriptures. We have an open mind and an expecting heart. We long for more of you. May you be glorified. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.